Well, I would appreciate your prayers.
Lord, bless his word to us this morning. The word that he's challenged to my heart. Felt like it had me to share with you by his help to endeavor to look into and dissect a little bit of his word and gain some understanding and some instruction and some challenge from it. I didn't know when he gave me this what the Sunday school lesson or the comments that would ensue would include, but I believe the Lord would like to kind of tag along to some of those things. Again, ask for an interest in your prayers. Like to speak to us by the Lord's help from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Like to look at the first couple verses here, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, a chapter that we know as the faith chapter. And for good reason, there's a lot of instruction that we're given about faith, a lot that we learn about faith from this chapter. Aren't you thankful today that it's no mediocre God we serve? That he's not just a God among gods, that he's not the same as what the world knows and entertains and looks to and serves. He's not like the gods of the idols of man. But I'm thankful that his ear is open unto the cry of his children, that his arm is mighty in battle, and he's able to save and deliver to the uttermost. Thank the Lord that we serve an amazing God. And I want us to be challenged by the Lord's help this morning to have faith in him. Hebrews 11 and 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now I want to dissect this a little bit by the Lord's help. Brother Rick, the Lord is gifted to be able to dissect scriptures, and he does that with us in his Bible study. I feel like the Lord would have us to try to dissect some of what this is telling us. Heard a testimony in the meeting at Guthrie, a sister that's been going through quite a battle, she and her husband, for some time, and she said the Lord brought this scripture to her mind. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." And she said that the Lord emphasized that word "now." And I never quite thought of it that way, but said the Lord was showing her that right now, in this time, in this affliction, in this battle that you're going through, faith is for that. Faith is for this time. Faith is for now. Faith is not just something from way back years and years ago that people had faith in God. Well, we've heard the stories, haven't we? People that put their all in Jesus and trust in the Lord and look to the Lord to maybe didn't have the food to put on the table and hear a knock on the door and the Lord provide the meal for their family. That's the kind of God that we serve. But it's not just something from old antiquated books that sit around maybe and collect dust. Our God is the same today. He's not changed. He's the same today as he was then, and he always will be. Thank the Lord. So now faith. What are you going through today? I may not know what you're going through, but you know faith is for now. Faith is for this time. This trouble, this distress that you may be going through. There's a song that we've sung sometimes. It talks about the God of the mountain. It said, "You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but the talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's when faith is really put to the test. Faith is not just for the sunshiny days, for the easy times. Faith is for now. Faith is for this time, this situation, this battle that we're going through now. It's not just an abstract idea. It's not just something for someone else. Faith in God is for now, and it is for us to be able to get a hold of. Now faith, this time, now consider this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. This word substance means properly the foundation. That which gives steadiness to anything, steadfastness to a thing. You wouldn't go and build your house on the sinking sand. Jesus spoke about that. But yet people do. It is important for our house to be built on a firm foundation so that you don't begin to see settling and cracks develop in the walls and the doors don't quite shut right and the windows bind up when you try to open them, because the whole house is starting to shift and to settle. Folks, we have a substance today. We have a firm foundation to build our lives upon. We don't have to build it on that which shifts and settles over time, that which evolves over time, that which is eroded over time, but we can build on something that, though the storms of life beat on it, day after day, year after year, how long has the faith of the Christian people been under assault? You know, in the age of reason, what they call the Enlightenment, you know, the philosophers thought that they could finally put a nail in the coffin of the Christian faith. Once and for all, finally put to bed, put to rest what they viewed as dark superstitions and mysterious beliefs and practices. But I am so thankful that we can build on something firm, on a foundation that has withstood the test of time and all the fiery darts and the storms and the attacks of the enemy. Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against what? Against the church of God. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church that Jesus built and established. How can that be so sure? You know, Jesus spoke about the foundation of the church. He told Peter, this is found in Matthew. We'll keep coming back here to Hebrews. But in the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, the 13th verse of Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." You know, still today there are so many opinions. There's so many ideas, so many philosophies of what's right, what's wrong. Social media, I suppose, has empowered it. Everybody has a platform. Everybody has a voice that you can declare with or without any credibility or any basis for it. Here's what I think. And I can put it out there as fact, and people can come along and dispute truth, can come along and say that we believe that marriage is something entirely different than what we've always thought it to be, and have a platform, and have people that will click the like button or the retweet button in agreement with it. But you know, the scripture says, what if some shall not believe? And I ask that to us today. What if some should not believe? What's it going to do to your faith? We live in a world that is very skeptical. In a world that is in which it is more virtuous to dispute anything that is settled belief. In the face of that, if people don't believe, well, if the pagan doesn't believe, what's it going to do to you? If so-called Christians don't believe, what's it going to do to your faith? If someone right among us should go away and not believe, what will it do to you? Folks, we've got to be anchored into a foundation. We've got to have a substance to our life to be able to build on, to be able to anchor to. Because if we don't, the winds will come, just like Jesus said, and they'll beat against the house. They beat against both houses. The one that was on the sinking sand, and the storms came and beat against the one that was on the rock. Life is going to happen to us both. No matter what you believe, life is going to happen and difficulties are going to come, whether you serve the Lord or not. But I want to be able to have something that whenever the storms of life come, whenever the things come that seem like just pull the rug right out from under my feet or wood, I want to have something that anchors me, that settles me. It's not to say that I'm not going to be affected and maybe troubled, but there is something that I can be established on, that my faith is not empty. It's not shallow. And that's what I want us to be challenged with this morning. What's your faith founded on? Do you have faith? Is it something that holds us, that anchors us? Do we believe something this morning? You know, if you don't believe something, you'll fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. What's our faith anchored on? Can it be blown about by the winds of the world? Or do we have a faith that anchors us? So Jesus asked this question. What are you hearing? What are people saying? Well, here's what they're saying, Lord. Some are saying this, some are saying that, some are saying the other. Sounds like confusion, doesn't it? Everybody's got a different opinion, a different idea. You know, the enemy's still working through confusion. The enemy's still trying to offer seemingly plausible alternatives, seemingly plausible explanations for truth that just aren't right. But it can look similar. I mean, we're saying Jeremiah, well, he was a good man. Elijah, he was a good man. But it's not the truth. You know, we have the opportunity, if I can put it that way, we'll have the opportunity to be offended at Christ. We'll have the opportunity to be confounded by the beliefs of the world if we're not anchored, if we're not established and fixed into something that does not move. And I believe that's the idea of an anchor. That an anchor is something that goes beneath the surface, where the waves and the tempest and all is blowing. It goes beneath that and it anchors to something that is solid. We need in our lives to be able to anchor to something that is solid, that goes beneath the surface. It goes deeper than a surface level experience. We need something that gives us substance to what we believe. Simon Peter, 15th verse. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, they'll try. The enemy and his imps and all of his dark forces will try to come against the believer, against the child of God, against the church of God. But we can have an experience with the Lord that is settled, that has a substance to it, that anchors us, that we don't have to be blown over. We don't have to be swept away by the tide of this world. Peter had a hold of a revelation that despite what everyone else says, Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God. And so Jesus said, this is the rock that I build my church upon. He wasn't talking about Peter and his flaws or in his humanity. He wasn't talking about Peter. He was talking about Peter's belief that he had just expressed that, Lord, I've gotten a hold of something from God, because Jesus said, this didn't come from school. This didn't come from flesh and blood. The Father revealed it to you. And so Jesus told Peter, this revelation of truth and conviction to your hearts is the rock upon which I will build my church. Folks, we need to have some convictions that are fixed, that aren't negotiable. We need to have some things settled in our minds and in our hearts that the world may and will question and try to undermine. But I need to have something from the Lord, not just from somebody else. I need to have something from the Lord. I need to get a revelation to my heart. What is this revelation? It was a revelation in Peter's case of who Christ really was. You know, we need a vision of who Christ is. The world's got ideas of who Jesus is. They say, lo here and lo there. And hey, we're a Christian church. And they present Christ in so many different lights. Folks, we need a revelation to our own heart of who Jesus is. A revelation that comes no other way but by being born again to see the kingdom of God, by knowing Christ for ourselves. You know, that's the foundation of faith. That's the foundation of the church of God. The churches that men build can be taken away. They can be taken down. They can be dismantled the same way that they were built up. But the church that Jesus built will never be taken down. It'll never be taken away by the opposition of the world, because it's something that you and I individually and we collectively have as a revelation to our own heart. Think of the martyrs who went to the stake under such intense persecution, trying to be convinced that your way is wrong. That's false, that's silly, that's foolish, and whatever the things they would tell him, some, sadly, recanted. But you know, there were millions who had gotten a hold of something. Folks, they had gotten a hold of a substance. They had gotten a hold of a foundation that they built their beliefs upon, that even when facing the hungry lion, they were able to say, I still believe. And I'm not going to recant. What are you going to do with, how are you going to tear something like that down? If somebody will believe it and anchor in till their dying breath, what are you going to do to tear that down? Jesus said, you can fear him that has, well, it said don't fear him that is able to destroy the body and afterwards has nothing more he can do. Folks, if our spirituality, so-called, or we'll say our religion, is based on the flesh, it can be ripped away. It can be torn down. But if we have a revelation, if we have convictions, if we have an understanding that is given to us by the Lord, that came by revelation unto my heart, that's not something the world can tear down. It's not something that the world can rip away from us. And so it's a firm foundation. The gates of hell will not prevail against this foundation. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. Here for context, he's speaking of those who came in among the church of God, began to sow discord, began to plant ideas of false doctrine, began to call into question the truths that the Lord had revealed unto them, and the faith of some were shaken, were overthrown, the scripture says. But in verse 19 it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Oh, I'm so thankful that even though there are all kinds of ideas and beliefs and doctrines and teachers in our world today, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. It standeth firm. And you know, in 2023, the foundation of God still stands sure. If God permits time to go on, in a sense, I shudder to think what it would look like by 2050. But you know, if God permits time to stand that long, the foundation of God will still be standing sure. It'll still be a firm foundation that anyone who will, whosoever will believe on Him, can be founded and established and built on a rock. Oh, I think of our young people and our children going out to face a hostile world. You know, God has a plan. The Lord has a plan that children can be brought up in the fear and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But you know, His plan is not that children remain in that place until they're 60. There comes a time when children leave father and mother. And it can be a fearful thing for father and mother and for children. Well, how are they going to stand? How are they going to be able to say no? How are they going to, you know, they can get a hold of for themselves and anchor and build on the same foundation. That's what our prayer is for our children, our young people, our young families. Oh, get built on the solid foundation. Become established. Because you're going to go to school. Some are going to go to college. Others are going to go out on the job. And your faith is going to be called into question. I can remember going to college, and I remember the classes, I remember the professors who stood in such authority, telling us that all those things that you've believed growing up, that your parents maybe have taught you, and your churches or whatever have taught you, that it's a weakness to still believe those things. Then now you come and you let us help open your eyes and your understanding and broaden your horizons. And I remember being bombarded with that day after day after day. Folks, you're going to need something. You're going to have to be built upon something that's not going to be washed away. The sands aren't going to hold up. The sands mean people's ideas, our opinions, our intellect. We may think we're ever so smart, but folks, if it's not a spiritual, divine revelation to our heart of who Jesus Christ is, of what His way is, of what His truths are, it'll be called into question. I'm no competition against the intellect of the world. You know, there's something that I have found that I've been able to anchor into and that I want to stay anchored into that's held me and that can hold you as well. The foundation of God standeth sure. And it has this seal on it. There's something here to notice and believe that speaks of a covenant. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Isn't that a comfort to know? Jesus told the disciples in one place, "Don't rejoice in that the devils are subject to you." There have been plenty of people, those who came before the throne and said, "Lord, didn't we cast out devils in Thy name? Did many wondrous works?" And He said, "I never knew you." The most important thing, the most valuable thing, is for Christ to know us. For me to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, that's something that's staying sure. There's nobody that can get into heaven and go erase that. There's nobody going to be able to get up there and steal our name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. We alone hold the key. Whether we're going to build our lives on something that's sure and solid or something that's shaky. So the Lord knows them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Faith, again, is not just some abstract idea. Building our lives upon the solid rock is not just a one-way street. That, Lord, you're going to have to just convince me and you're going to have to hold. There's a two-way covenant here. There is something that the Lord has imparted of His Word unto us. The Lord knows them that are His. He honors those that are His. But I've got to respond in faith unto His Word. Faith is about more than healing. It is about healing. That's scriptural. It hadn't changed. But faith is about all of our lives. It is about believing His Word to the point that I take action upon it. I can hear the messages go forth. And I can respond with my intellect. And I can say with my mind, I believe that. I believe the end of the world's coming. Sure I do. But if my faith is not strong, I won't act like it. Scripture says, 2 Peter, what manner of persons ought we to be? In all holy conversation and godliness, knowing that these things are coming, knowing that the end of the world is coming. If our faith is strong in God, if we believe His Word, it'll cause us to obey His Word. It'll cause us to believe and act upon it. It'll cause us to depart from iniquity. That is a firm foundation. So I'd like to go back now to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Now faith is the substance. I believe we've dealt with that already. Now faith is the substance of what? It is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. What is it that people hope for? You know, people have a lot of hopes, a lot of dreams, a lot of aspirations. You ever see people in the line of the convenience store buying tickets, sitting there scratching them off, hoping that this will be the ticket. Powerball rolls around, they're hoping that this will be my lucky break. People hope for a lot of things. They hope to be able to strike it rich. They hope for betterment of their life, one way or another. They hope for a bright future. People hope for happiness. But you know, our hopes need to have substance. Our hopes need to have something that backs them up. Something they're built on. Because I can hope for a lot of things. And if there's not a substance to it, it's vain. And it's empty. The hopes of this world are vain and empty. And I hear politicians sometimes speaking, and I can appreciate the rhetoric. I can hear the music of it. America, our brightest days are ahead. But the reality is, we can hope for that. But if we take God out of the equation, it is an empty hope. It is a futile hope of brighter days without the Lord and without the fear of God. So I want us to be able to understand the importance of having a substance to our hopes. Again, people And we'll hope to strike her rich. You know what the scripture says in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter? 1 Timothy 6 and 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Oh, to those who are rich in this world, do you fall in that category? I can just about guarantee you that there are some people in this world who would say that you and I do. Charge them that are rich in this world, don't put your trust in it. Don't trust in uncertain riches. The scripture says in one place that riches surely make themselves wings and fly away. Blame Uncle Sam or blame the mechanic or whoever it is, but it's so uncertain. The stock market, is that where your hopes are built? Well, I hope there will be something left of Social Security whenever I retire. But you know my hopes aren't there. That's not what my hopes are based on. If it's there or if it's not, I've got an anchor that holds me to something. Because riches are uncertain. It's not a solid foundation to build my hopes on. It says trust in God. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who freely giveth us all things to enjoy. Folks, when we anchor into the Lord, when our faith and our trust is in Him, trust in the Lord for all that you need, for everything in your life, for your decisions, for the troubles that come your way. Trust in the Lord. Look to the Lord. The Lord is able to supply our needs. The Lord will supply our needs if we put our trust in Him. David said, I am old and I have been young, but I have never seen the righteous man forsaken. I have never seen his seed begging bread, because they trust in the Lord. Folks, it is a strong foundation. I share the burden that faith is under attack today. The enemy is trying to undermine the faith of God's people. Why has he set his sights on that? Because it is our foundation. In Psalms, the 11th chapter, says, if the foundation of the righteous be if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Folks, the enemy is trying to destroy the foundation of our faith. The enemy is trying to undermine our reliance upon God in a very self-sufficient age, in a very independent, I can do it, I got this type of age. The enemy is trying to undermine our dependence and our faith in God. We live in a credit card age, in a charge it age, in a man can take care of every need, every problem, every affliction, every deficiency that I have in life. The man's got an answer for it. And it can put us in a place where our faith is handicapped. That we don't look to the Lord. That we forget our dependence upon God. Trust in the living God, who freely giveth us all things to enjoy. I'd like to look at a few scriptures in the Old Testament. Psalms, the 33rd chapter. Thinking still of what people put their hope in. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the foundation and the substance of things hoped for. Psalms 33. The 16th verse. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. Well, let's keep reading. To deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. I'm going to tell you, when we put our hope in the Lord, that is not a vain hope. It is not an empty and a shallow and an unfounded hope. The horse, it's not as meaningful to us in our day as it was to them. That was the means of their superiority in battle. If you had enough horses, you were just about guaranteed victory in the minds of warfare and military strategists. But we can't depend on ourselves. A horse is a vain thing for safety. If you're putting your trust in the horse, if you're putting your trust, I heard a brother say recently, put it in modern terms, if you're putting your trust in your nuclear arsenal, it's a vain thing. If you're putting your trust in your military might and prowess as a nation, it's a vain thing. Folks, if you're putting your trust in the Glock on your side, it is a vain thing. You're putting your trust, you don't know what a Glock is, you're putting your trust in your concealed carry, it's a vain thing. Safety comes from the Lord. And folks, we can put our trust in the Lord. We as Americans, we're a pretty independent-minded people, and it served us well in a lot of ways, but not when it comes to thinking that we can trust in our own way above God's. Folks, the Lord is able to protect us. The Lord is able to keep us safe. The Lord is able to provide for us. The ways of man's defense, the ways of man's protection, the ways of man's fighting and warfare is a vain thing. You put your hope in it, it is a thing hoped for without any substance. Isaiah 30. Isaiah chapter 30, and well, it says, in this chapter of those of my people who go down into Egypt, and they have not asked at my mouth, the second verse, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, to trust in the shadow of Egypt. And he says, he lets them know, that's not enough. But in the seventh verse it says, for the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. It is a vain thing to turn to Egypt. It's a vain thing to turn to this world. It's a vain thing to put our trust in technology, to put our trust in the advances of mankind. It's a vain thing. But our strength is to sit still. Our strength is to sit still and trust in the salvation of the Lord. And the world can look on and say, how weak a position, how pathetic a people. But folks, if our trust is in the Lord, we won't have to be confounded and put to shame. The Lord is able today, and He is worthy of our trust. Let's look at Jeremiah as well, the third chapter. Jeremiah chapter 3, the 23rd verse says, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. You know, if we put our hope in circumstances, well, you know, I just had a bad break of luck. And like the, who was it, the enemy that came against Israel, and they said, well, because their God is a God of the mountains, I think I said first, that's why we lost the battle. Things were just against us. But if circumstances were different and we were in the valley, folks, God is a God of all circumstances. He is a God of the mountain as well as the God of the valley. So don't trust in the mountain. Don't trust in circumstances. Don't put your dependence on just getting the right break. Put your trust even when it looks like everything is stacked against you. Put your trust in the Lord, because the Lord is able to bring salvation and deliverance. I'd like to look at 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, and get a familiar story here. 1 Samuel 17, the story of David. You ever hear people they call talking smack? Oh, maybe two young guys getting into a scuffle. Start talking real big to one another, threatening one another. I'm about to clean your clock type of thing. Well, let's look at two men. I don't want to even put it in modern vernacular, but look at two men who were talking big to one another. 1 Samuel 17, 43, and the Philistine, this being Goliath, the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, now it's David's turn, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield." Remember what we read about a horse? It's a vain thing for safety. Oh, Goliath, what you're trusting in there, it's a vain thing for safety. "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee." Now I want us to think, if David had only come into this in response to Goliath, say, "Oh yeah? Well, I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth." But you know, David wasn't boasting in his own strength. And that's where we get in trouble. If we begin to depend on our own abilities and our own strength to be able to deliver us, it'll fail us. But David came into this saying, "I'm putting my trust in the name of the Lord God." Folks, hope backed up with substance of faith is not vain. It is not empty. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. David was hoping for a victory that day, but it wasn't just a vain hope. It wasn't just, "You know what, I got a 1 in 100 chance here that rock's going to make contact." No, it wasn't a vain hope, because his hope was fixed in Jehovah. His faith was fixed in God. And he came into it with a boldness and a confidence that was not his own. And that's what the Lord wants to give us as the people of God. We don't need to go around all cowed down and shivering and shaking in fear in the corner. Folks, we are children of God. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace. When the enemy is coming against us, trying to defy my faith and my confidence in God and breathing his threats and his all of that, I can come in confidence knowing that it is God's will. I'll tell you, I'll go to a job interview maybe, and I could go into that saying, "I know this is the job for me. I don't even need to interview. You know what? If this is the job for me, I can kick my feet up on the table and pop my bubble gum, and I'm going to get this job because God's in it." You know, I don't know for sure, perhaps, if the Lord wants me to have that job or not. And chances are, if I'm going into it with that kind of attitude, he's not. So there can be places in life that I'm asking the Lord for something, and I have to say, "Lord, I don't know exactly what your will is, but I'm bringing this to a great and a mighty God. Lord, I'm asking you for healing." That's what Paul asked for. "But Lord, it's in your hands. And my faith is in you regardless." You know, there are some things we can know. When the enemy's coming to you trying to tell you God doesn't care about you, God doesn't love you, you're a worthless loser, and on, that's Satan. And I know it's God's will for Satan to be defeated. I know it's God's will for me to have victory over the devil. So I can come to the enemy in confidence like David did, saying, "I'm not going to lose this battle. By the grace of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I claim the victory. And I hold on to that. And it is not a vain hope." Again, if we, what is it to the man that thinks he stands? "Oh, I got this. I've been saved 30 some years. I know the doctrines. I know people look up to me and respect me. Why, I'm a minister of all things. Folk, look out. Look out. Because as soon as we fail to put our trust in Almighty God and begin to depend upon our own abilities, that fall is going to come faster than what we could even imagine. But if we put our trust in the Lord, in the name of the Lord God, I come to you. And whatever we do, when I come ministering to you, I can't come. I've been preaching X number of years. No, in the name of the Lord. Because He is my hope and my help and my salvation and my strength. Well, we don't have enough time. But I want to leave these thoughts with us this morning. Folks, there is a substance. There is a foundation for us to build our hopes on. You want a bright future? All the world does. You ever gone to a commencement speech at a high school graduation or college and hear them say, well, 28% of you are going to become drug addicts. Another 10% of you, whatever. You'll be fired from your jobs, and a few of you will commit suicide. And you don't hear that kind of thing. You hear them say, the world is your oyster, and the world is yours, and whatever you want, you can attain it. And your brighter days are, folks, it's a vain hope if we trust in that in ourselves. And our ability. But you know, it's not a vain hope to expect brighter days if you trust in the Lord. Because He knows the way that we take. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, of good, and not of evil. I've got an expected end to bring you to. And it's bright. So if we put our trust in the Lord, it's not a vain thing to say brighter days are ahead. Oh, weeping may endure for a night, but faith tells me joy is coming in the morning. I may be in a dark valley right now, but faith tells me, lift up your head, your redemption draws nigh. Things may be getting dark around us in the world and discouraging and disheartening, but there's a voice that calls me from the other shore that says, look up! Look up, hold true, hold fast, don't give in, because your redemption draws nigh. Folks, I trust the Lord will impart to us this morning the importance of having faith in God, of having a something that will endure, something that will hold fast, something that will be a substance of the things that we hope for. You pray for me. Amen.